Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Out on stage, I love being in my house. So
you know what? Now the concerts you're putting them on from the house, right?
Yes. At least once, sometimes twice a week, but I'm trying to just do one.
That's
one
solid,
a week.
That's solid.
Yeah. Tuesday nights, there's not a lot of competition. Everybody's home. So they've been going pretty well. So I'm excited about that. I'm working on my 10th record.
Oh my God.
Really? I know.
I posted on Facebook. I'm like, he's one of the most prolific songwriters I know. 10 records. Dude, that is a heavy amount of songs over how many years? Because you started
98. I put my first record out in 98. I'm not a super proud person when it comes to music. I just feel like I'm part of the pie. Like, I'm humbled that it gets to come through me. But the number 10 for some reason is just, it's really lit a fuse. It's 10 indie records, man. Yeah, baby.
You know what? I always feel like there's, and you'll totally respect this, I always feel like you really can tell the difference between the people that stick with it. I'd say after two or three, when people start doing the third, fourth, fifth, sixth record, it's like you get into this group where it's like the swamp is kind of draining a little bit, and the people that really love it are still doing it. When you get to 6 to 10 records, you know that's a whole different level of veteran musician.
I concur with that 100%, and your real fans are still with you.
Yes.
You know when somebody... I'm not saying bought every record, because
right.
You fall in and out of artists' lives, but it's like the people that are still tuning into my shows I'm doing live, love to you, because it's been a long journey, and I thank
right.
you.
And you know what? What's cool about that too is when you're playing the early shows, it's like no matter what, as you're gaining more momentum, you're like that hot ticket, you know?
Right.
And I think it's more meaningful when it's like, the heat is kind of cooled off. You're not like the new thing on the scene anymore, and people still show up. It's like you savor those fans. I would totally say this too. I think I savor those people even more than the hot ticket people. You know what I mean?
The only real way I can put it is I will honor those people's requests. Those people that are stuck, they're like, they request a song from 10 years ago. It's like, for 20 years, you know what I mean? It's like, that's 20 great. Years, man. You know how many artists you've listened to in the last 20 years?
And there's only a handful. Yeah, exactly. There's only a handful that you can still stick with. But I mean, that's the difference of good and great right there, you know?
I feel I'm feeling more successful every day in my career in music. And 2 years ago, almost to the day, 2 years ago, I had a stroke, And
I remember that.
This new record are all but one song was written after I got out of the hospital.
Wow.
And like, you know how it is as a songwriter, it's a journal. And right. It's like, you're kind of keeping tabs on yourself and staying creative. And sometimes you don't stay creative. And then you're like, hey man, I haven't written a song in a couple of weeks.
Right.
But I'm really, really excited about that. Cause when I got out of the hospital, I couldn't play guitar. I had no rhythm.
That's what I remember sending you a message on Facebook. And you told me that you had to like relearn how to play things that you've been playing for decades. And I was like, but you slowly started just like inching your way back and then taking leaps. Tell me what that like whole process was like from beginning.
I love music so much. There was no way I was going to let that be the end of my musical journey. There was just, the thought never entered my head. Like from the time I couldn't play, I just started, the muscle memory came back fast. I'm very happy about that. It doesn't happen for a lot of people.
Right, right. And also there's paralysis and all these other factors.
Yeah, absolutely. And my second chance is, I don't know. I can't even, I don't really have words for it, but it's just, it's amazing and honorable to make this next record, because there were a lot of things that could have happened that could have ended it.
Right. And then not only that, it's like you had music and the feeling of it being taken away makes you savor making music way more, right?
Big time, man. Hey, I always wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah, man.
When you listen to music, like, did the way you listen to music completely change after you started recording?
Yes, and I find that like I tell people this all the time. It's like the music is like a living, breathing thing. Like every recorded, album, whatever, is like a living, breathing thing. But what has gotten better is not my ability to play, but it's been my ear that's been getting better. So I think it completely directly relates to your motor skills. And like how you listen changes, not so much like all of a sudden you learn how to play guitar better,
I love like listening to mixes as much as songs now.
Oh yeah.
And it's like the little nuances are it really makes it for me now. Like that's what makes a record for me now is the all those little extra things. Like some friends of mine, the Parlor Birds, just made a record, and it's a record. You know what I mean? It's like there's things at the end of song carrying in, like just like 30 seconds of noise that they thought was inspirational. Cool. Yeah, like totally amazing.
And I love that. That's like a very 90s thing. I remember I started putting little hidden tracks in songs.
Sure.
Nobody does that anymore.
Right.
And those little moments where you're like, oh, this is the joy of making a recorded work. Like from beginning to end, like where it has a story. And it's those little pages in between that.
It doesn't have to be a concept record.
No. Well, let's go way back. What was the moment? I don't think I've ever asked you this question. But what was the moment where you fell in love with music, wanted to become a musician, or wanted to, pick up a guitar?
Music is the only thing that has ever made sense to me in my life. It's the only thing that's made me feel whole, connected. It's like I was a super loner. I don't want to say like bizarre, but a little deranged as a child. Like there wasn't any focus, but to answer the question, we were in the woods. I always sang and I always played percussion, but we were camping. There was like 30, me with like 30 friends. We're in the woods. We were a little bit sideways and, my friend said, dude, you should play guitar. My mentor, the guy that I wanted to be. Like, this guy was writing beautiful songs at 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's just like
the freak really, of the future, man.
Yeah.
I'm still catching up with those guys.
We just wrote a song together the other day.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, and he's like, and he taught me G, D, and C. He's like, this is where your fingers go. You already got rhythm. Strum it slow, then pick it up. And I sat on the rooftop of our house that night and wrote my first song.
Wow.
And I showed it to him the next day.
That is crazy.
We all got back from camping. I went upstairs, took the guitar, and it, poof, it was called Oak Tree. And
wow.
Yeah, that was when I was like, this is it. This is the feeling, you know? And I was like 19 or 20 years old.
Wow.
You know, I had never played guitar, and I was like, yeah, this is, we're done. We're done with the searching, man.
And so was there a song, like, after you learned to write, was there a song that just kind of propelled you to just want to dig way deeper into the whole process? Because, you know, it's like a layered process of
sure.
lifestyle and a career, you know what I mean?
The first cover I ever learned was Cortez the Killer by Neil Young.
Great song.
That, thank you. That's, yeah. Well, I'm, thank you. Thank you.
No, it's a good choice. You could have had a worse choice.
Yeah, you can start anywhere. Yeah. I'm not the type of person to plan things really well. Like, I was just like, all right, I know how to write songs. I went and I moved to Arizona 21 years ago, 22 years ago.
Wait, where did you grow up? I thought you were born and raised.
No, I grew up in Massachusetts, Brockton, Mass.
That's right. I think I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, man. And all of my friends, like 60 to 75% of my friends play guitar. Like, and weekends were just filled with listening to people's new tunes and jamming, and I played others and sang. And then I moved to Arizona, and I just started playing open mics. And that's why I still go back and play open mics once in a while. Like, I do too. See who's coming up next, or double, I don't know, two generations away now. But then you start booking gigs, and I met my friend Justin. And I met Justin Egg at an open mic, and he had brought 30 people to the open mic.
Wow. Wow.
So
that's a lot.
Yeah. It's a ton.
You can swear, man.
Oh, right on.
The dedicated show? Come on.
And like, so Justin and I started playing together, and we were killing it. I mean, like, we started playing Tuesdays, and we're doing like, this was late 90s, early 2000s. We're doing 250, 300 people every Tuesday.
Wow.
And it was like little under the ground club for years. And like, it got so popular in Arizona, in Tempe. I moved to Massachusetts. I went on tour for the summer. I think it was like 2000, and they were flying me back every week.
Wow.
Yeah, man. They were flying me back every week to play a Tuesday night gig in a bar. So they must have been making some scratch. I'm just saying, man. Like,
of course. That makes sense. That was the bar in Tempe was doing that, right?
Yep, that was Belos. And then I got my full band, The Foundation, and we just started making records. I was just, you know, like the inspiration of moving. When I first moved to Arizona, that first couple of months, I wrote 50 songs.
Wow.
Really? Yeah, but it was just like nonstop. I mean, like, literally, man, like, I lost jobs. Like, people were like, hey, where are you? I said, I'm busy, yo.
Right.
I'm busy, yo.
You're like, that was it. It's funny. It's like, you and I are the same in this. It's like, everything else in our lives is like so erratic, but when it comes to being present for the song,
there's
like complete 100% loyalty to just that, you know?
That That's just me, you know. That's, I think that's you. And my understanding is that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I view it, is like, that's just what it takes. I don't care what you want to do, but you got to give it 100.
Yes.
If you want to be great, or if you want to be good even, you know what I mean? Like, there are millions and millions of people that pick up guitar and play and write songs.
Right.
I feel honored and humble to have made a career out of it.
Right.
You know, I'm 20 years deep, man. Like,
and you've been one of the things I respect about you so much. You've been a road warrior. Like, you've been playing like 6 to 10 gigs a week sometimes.
And back in the day, man, before my stroke, dude, no doubt. I loved it. I wanted to be a troubadour. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to, like, you know, I got no problem driving out to San Diego or driving out to L.A. and playing a 1 or 2 off gig, coming back. I've driven to Colorado before to play a gig, man. Back in the day.
Right.
We drove to freaking, my band, we drove to Seattle. Wow. to play one gig. And but it was an awesome gig.
Were you doing like a 15 passenger van, or did you just all?
Oh, it was a dope van. It was killer. Yeah. It had beds and captain's chairs and all that, man. Yeah. So we went and we rocked it, and we had a good time in Seattle, made forever friends with people, and that was that. We got paid and came home, and you know, I'm sure we probably did a couple cool things on the way home, but that was the way it was back then, man. Like, you to hop in a van and like go play music around the country, that's, I don't know.
There's something, it's the pulp. It really
yes,
is. Pulp.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, it's like I've done a couple like band tours and with the band, and it's like there is, you grow as a band together, you grow as people together, and it's like exponentially, like completely parallel to the stench of the van grows.
Yes.
You know, like, you know that there's a smell of a band.
Something went wrong. Something went drastically wrong in the van.
Yes.
But you ain't, yeah, man, that's funny, man. Like, there's definitely some stories that a van can tell. You know what I mean? Like, but now, too old for all that, man. Like,
Right. No, and you know what? I always think, especially with what's going on in the world right now, I always think of young bands. You know, like, this all of a sudden just happened, and I've been thinking about the young bands that have been going on the road and had to turn around in the middle of their tour because every venue just shut down, you know?
And that's a lot of work, man. Booking gigs in other towns is tough business, man.
People don't
understand. If you don't have a hit. I have some friends. I was just talking to Jen, my wife, about this today. I have some friends. They're called the Black Moods. They're, I guess you could say they're regional. They have a couple of top 40 hits. They've had a couple last year, and they have one on the top 40 chart right now. And I think they just played the Troubadour and all that. You know, like, they're right there. You know, videos with big time producers, and they just have to stop in their home. And I'm like, damn, man, like, that's, and they're not against you.
It's like, what? Yeah,
they're not a new band, man. Like, they've been at it for a long time, but they, over the past 5-6 years, they've really, like, a bigger audience has grabbed hold of them, and they just have to stop right now and just, like, wait. And it's like, and when you've been waiting, you know how, when you've been waiting a long time and you get to eat a little bit.
Right.
You want,
I mean, you want, it's an addiction. It's like,
yeah,
you want that high. You want to,
you know, gotta have it.
Like, the funny thing is, I remember somebody, one of my bandmates told me, like, the work for a musician is not in the show. It's all the things around the show. It's the travel. It's the booking the hotels. It's the routing the tours. It's the gas.
It's 80% preparation.
Yes.
And then you get to have some, but then you get to have all the fun, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like it. There's, dude, I mean, you played to bigger crowds than I have, man. There's,
well, it's all the same though. I mean, it's like, there's, you know, I always feel like, you know, the bands that just put in time, they just put in time. It's like, you know, when you see a band like the Rolling Stones, like anybody can say, oh, it's so easy, they're playing stadiums every night. No, it's like the
band, even them.
Even them, it is an amazing amount of work. And then you look at the bands, I almost think it's easier to be in a band like a Coldplay or the Rolling Stones than any artist that's playing when they're starting. That first year, I'll never forget, was the hardest year of my life, because it was like you were playing and proving yourself time and time again, and you didn't have that, like, maybe it wasn't like that for you, but I didn't have that, like, full confidence where it was like, yo, I'm like comfortable in my skin about what I'm doing creatively. Shit. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, absolutely. It's like
you're really putting it on the line, and those shows for like 3, 4, 5 people still, and it still works like this, because, you know, there are rooms where, you know, we could play in front of 500, 300, 200, 50, 10. It's still the same amount of energy you're putting into it. And in fact, I actually think it's more with less people than with thousands of people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It's much harder. I think it's much harder for anybody to play an intimate show for less than 20 people. And I've done so many of them, and I find even these virtual shows that I'm starting to do now, it's like you're an audience of one, because you, even if it's like you're playing right, 50 people or 50 people, it don't matter. It's just you in the room.
You hear the applause in your head.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, so like I always feel like the work is the same. It's just the only thing that's different is like the marketing and the things around it. Like maybe the hotels get nicer, the crowds get bigger, but the actual work of like writing a song and getting that emotion, it's exactly the same. And I think it's like almost easier when you play for a bigger crowd. And, you know,
I'm the 180 complete opposite. I feel more comfortable in front of a crowd of 10 or 20 to really let loose and not think about it, but just like to feel it. Like when I get in front of bigger crowds and stuff, it's like, I don't want to say I feel less comfortable, but I feel like there's certain songs that I should be playing for them to keep them up and,
right.
I don't know. I think about it differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. You and I have a couple of similar influences, Dave Matthews being one of them.
Oh, yes.
Tell me, like, you know, we can talk Dave Matthews all day long. But, right, you know, he was an important person for us at the time, too, when he came up with that sound, playing acoustic guitar with the band. Tell me how his sound influenced you. What were the songs or the group of songs or the albums that kind of changed you to want to be in a band, and then share some other influences as well?
I was in a club back in Massachusetts, and I think it was 95, and a friend of mine came up to me. He said, there's this band called the Dave Matthews Band that you need to hear. He goes, it's going to change your life. You know, people say that all the time. I wasn't a musician yet. You know, a little bit. I'd started playing, but I wasn't in yet. And then I moved to Arizona, and like a lot of people that I met in the first group of people I met in Arizona were Dave Matthews fans. And the Crash record, is that what it's called?
That's it.
So the Crash record came out, and I was dating this girl, and we went to the mall, and they had it on a listening station. I had never seen a listening station before.
Like Blockbuster Music style?
Is that probably, yeah, 100%. And so we got headphones on, you know, and I'm like, you know, trying to be smooth, GQ and all that, and Say Goodbye.
Oh, great song.
She goes, you got to listen to this song. And I was just like, oh, like I got chills right now, man. Like,
yeah, me too.
And I was just like, and I bought the record, and she had a party later that night, And that night, me, her, and a friend of mine, we sit there and sang the whole record, like just listen to it, like all day, all night. And everyone's just looking at us like, how do you guys know this stuff already? And I was just like, it was just, and then like, it couldn't have been like maybe a couple months later, he came to Phoenix as part of the Horde tour. So I saw that, and then he played.
Wait, was that Rusted Root,
Blues Traveler,
Lenny Kravitz?
Lenny Kravitz, yeah.
We saw the same tour, and that also changed me. Tell me what that experience was like.
Dude, that Horde tour was definitely, I mean, I had already had it in my mind to be a musician, but there's dudes on stage with acoustic guitars, you know what I mean? Like, and I got to sit with Rusted Root. I opened for them a couple times, and I got to sit with the singer in a small club and just chat. I love Rusted Root. I love the Blues Travelers. And like that tour was like
the best.
Best. And then the following summer, Dave Matthews Band played Red Rocks. And me and all my crew went up to Red Rocks.
Wow.
Eight of us. Yeah, man. We camped in the Rockies, freezing.
Wait, did you see the show that they did the live record? Was that the
show? That's not what I'm talking about right now, but I was there too. I've seen all Dave Matthews Red Rock shows.
Wow. That's
great. Yeah, man. Except for, and this was a life lesson. So here they played four shows. The last show they did, what's that Bob Marley song?
Exodus.
Yes, Exodus. They did Exodus. So I saw the three shows prior to that, but I was going through a divorce at the time and I had to get back to take my daughter. And so my friend Ryan, whose house I was at, he's like, dude, life's gonna move by. This is the important thing is that you go to this show tomorrow. I'm like, nah, man. Like that was just me. Like, so I went back to Arizona and I missed that show. And they did Exodus.
And you're like, and what?
Mind blowing. And I had that year. I'll never forget. I had also went to the Gorge. So I went to the Gorge and then Red Rocks. And at the Gorge, they had. I was like third row or something, and they started playing Blackbird.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? This is happening. So they played the song, and then they did it again at Red Rocks. And then, you know, everybody wants to hear, what's that real angry song he sings?
Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween. So we're Red Rocks, and typical situations by had been and probably is still my favorite song.
Oh, that's a great one. And you covered that song a bunch.
I do cover that song. That and Seek Up were... So, all tour, you know, I've seen seven shows. And I'm like, all I want to hear is Typical. And the whole crowd just starts chanting Halloween. And Typical was in that spot where Dave was just like, let's do Halloween.
Dude, I was at that show.
Oh, yeah?
That must have been... 2006, 2005.
Yeah, right around there.
And the whole audience was chanting Halloween. Yeah, yeah. Unless it happened more than once, I was at Red Rocks when that happened.
And
he did Weekend on the Rocks, right? That was
And Stefan was just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
just launched into it, and I was like, oh. And Typical, I saw the set list later, and Typical situation was in that spot.
And you're like, what?
I know. I'm like, dude, come on now.
That's not my favorite song. It was like, I liked it when it first came out on the, you know, the EP they did. But I fell out of love with that song. It's not my favorite song. And I would have rather heard Typical Situation because that is one of my
favorites. Hell yeah. No doubt. I mean, I get it. Like, people like that. People like Angry Dave.
Right.
And I do too. I'm a big fan. But that song is like, it's a little over the top for me. like, hey man, I'd rather still hear like, what was the intro there that they were doing for a while? She says, I'd like to hear that.
I love some of his, like, one of the things I love is like, I love like the songs that are kind of like, they're sweeter songs. Proudest Monkey, One Sweet World. You know, I still love, you know, what's that?
Loving Wings?
Loving Wings.
Yeah, love man.
That song. Because great I think song. The riffs are cool and the melodies are cool. And it's like a lot of people want the energy of the band, but sometimes it's when it's that restraint that they're all doing together. I find it to be such a powerful energy, you know?
Me too. I feel the same way. I love Lover Lay Down. Lover Lay Down is probably like one of my faves.
Great song. Well, let's have you play something. What are you going to play for us first?
I'm going to play a new song called Atmosphere.
Love it already. All right, yes. Let's hear it.
I want to sleep with you by the sea. Watch the clouds. Hand in hand through the leaves of the birches, we all the atmosphere tonight. No one is around. We have no fear. Covered by the sound of feet on snow, the abuse of the symphony. Summer cicadas chorus by the light of the firefly. We are the atmosphere tonight.
Typical situation. It's got like that minor feel.
Oh, thank you, man.
Really does.
It's really, the song's really different for me. And so I've been, during this quarantine, I've been doing pre-pro for the new record, and the song's 80 beats per measure. And it's like, man, laying down an acoustic track's at 80 beats.
You're like, you really grab your. I know the language you speak of, dude.
I'm like, 80? Like, it's funny. And I'm playing the song, and I keep putting 85, 87. And I'm like, it's too fast, it's too fast. So I'm like, scared enough. And my wife's like, it's too fast still. Like, I know.
You're like, please.
I'm stuck in 100 to 120, yo.
You know what I do in situations like that? I always double the BPM. So it's like the 8.
Oh, yeah,
that's my secret. Because it's like, if it's at 160, it don't feel like 80 anymore. So that's my little thing. I'll put it at double the time so that I have more subdivisions and it's easier for me to just lock in, because I find like the slower grooves, the more space that you have, there is more reason for me to want to rush or drive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
That's my little trick, man.
I'm going to try that.
You'll love it.
Thank you, man.
It'll be like this. Like, why did I work so hard at 80?
Like, I'm sitting here like in the... I can't move slow enough.
You know what? This is songwriter humor right here. I love it, dude. I love it. You know, Sean, you and Jason, with your band, you are one of the first bands we opened for in Arizona. And I never forgot that, like, how much I cherished that experience, because it was like we came to Arizona. We had no contacts. It was actually a friend from Arizona that said, dude, I saw you guys play at whatever the venue was. You guys got to open for this band called Sean Johnson, the Foundation. And I was like, dude, where are they from? She's like, they're from Arizona. And so I looked you guys up on MySpace. And I reached out to you guys. Jason hit me back and I'm like, dude, I'd love to play a show with you guys. And Jason like basically locked in like a 4 or 5 day tour. And I remember we did a bunch of shows with you guys. And you had already done the work. Like, you had already gotten the fan base and already put in so much time into the band. And I just remember thinking, dude, these guys are hustlers and they're a badass. Like, musicianship was great. The songs were great. The band was great. The following was great. And I just remember thinking, how is this guy playing 5 nights a week and everybody's showing up? You know what I mean? It was like, dude, that was...
People at Tempe were just so bored. I don't know, man, but...
No, it was because you were good, man. It was because you were good.
We always played different songs, and we always... We took that Dave Matthews... Maybe that's where it came from. We took that Dave Matthews approach of, you know, if a song was a little faster, you just went with it. Like, you're on the tightrope, man. Make it, like, adapt and overcome, monkey. Come on. You can do it.
I have a weird thing, dude. I don't know if you're like this, but, when people request, like, if I make a set list and people start requesting songs, I won't play them. Like, I'm like, yo, no, I'm not a jukebox, man. Like, if I have a set and I've rehearsed a set,
on that line, it's like, not a jukebox, not a
jukebox. You want a jukebox, buy the record, or, you know, put me on iTunes and play the song that you want. But it's like, and sometimes people will just like, yo, I want you to play this song. Even
they
if it's
get
cover,
mad.
It's like, yo, that's not like, it's like people, it's like I always say, you know, I never say this to a fan, but it's like somebody gave me the perfect analogy. It's like somebody going up to another person at their work and saying, hey, forget whatever work you're doing and that
your GPS reports.
Do this whole different thing that you haven't been prepared to do, or do your homework from 20 years ago that you may have forgotten. It's like,
I've been around Tempe. I've been around long enough. I say that shit. Like, I have – Jason and I have a Thursday night gig that we've been doing for 4 years.
Wow.
And it's a no-request Thursday. And, like, people just be like, hey, can you play that? I'm like, hey, can you read the song? No-request Thursday. And people have taken money back out of the tip jar. They're like, well, I can't get it. I'm like, take it. Have a great time. I'm going to play what I want when I want.
Yes.
Like, if I can't do that, I'm in the wrong business.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, and it's like, it's so weird because, you know, you wouldn't go to a restaurant and and just look at the menu and be like, you know, I know you're a sushi chef, but I really want lasagna. Make me some lasagna. People.
These are all good suggestions. These are all, but I think I want some brioche, please.
Yes, but people for some reason love to just like think, oh, you know what? I'm gonna try and make a connection with you, and I'm gonna request a song that you don't necessarily want to play.
I love when they request songs while you're playing. So you're in the middle of the song, and they'll come up and they'll go to give you a handshake or a dap, and be like, hey man, can you play Freebird? It's just like, so I learned the first half of Freebird, my own version, just to fuck with people.
Right.
And because I think it's the least played song ever.
Right.
Nobody plays the fucking song, right? So I play like the first verse and the first chorus, and you start seeing cowboys just like perk up and like, And then I'm just like, just kidding.
That's smart, dude. That's smart.
I love it.
This has become like a songwriter therapy session. I love it, dude.
Yes.
But nobody ever thinks. Nobody ever thinks, yo, what is this like? Like, it is.
What does it take to get there?
Yeah. And it's like there is a certain thing where I think the coolest thing about what we do is we get to be the soundtrack for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours in a night. And we get to show you, like, yo, all this stuff we listen to over decades has
feel like this.
Yes. Yes. So, like, it's funny. It's like now it's like most people know, yo, I'm going to play the set list and I've been thinking about the set list and that's going to be it. You know, it's like,
I know how I want to make you feel.
Yeah.
I already know.
Yes.
But it's hard. But
yeah. Most people don't always understand that. So
it's hard.
I knew
to
I could talk about that with you.
Yeah. It's hard to tell somebody that, like, I know better how you should feel.
Right. Right. But you know what? It's like you also respect them for loving your music. And it's like, oh, man, that is amazing.
I would love to play that for you, but I'm not going to.
What are you going to play next for us?
I'm going to play a song called Pure and Simple.
This off the new record or an older record?
This is off my last record, which is called, Sunshine for Someone, which is available on all that stuff, you know.
All the places you can find
all the places, Amazon. And this song, I love this song. And Jason rips crazy leads on this, on the track. It was the only song he did on my last record. And he smashes it.
He's one of the badass, like I love that you guys are still playing music together, and he's one of my favorite people on the planet. And I just love that, you know, you guys still have this musical collaboration that feeds itself. And it's like that's the testament to the character of both of you, the camaraderie of both of you, and the passion for music for each other and with each other, you know?
Thank you, man. Thank you. Because Jason and I are really different people. Like, the passion for music makes us alike. But besides that, we're like polar opposites.
Isn't that, it's kind of like how all bands are, you know? It's like, I find that like my favorite bands are the ones where it's like each member is going in a completely.
Yeah. When tour is over, we don't hang out.
Yeah. And I have a joke with my band. It's like, If somebody had the choice of what to listen to in the band, none of us would choose the same thing. And the only band that my whole band loves is Steely Dan. There's no other band that everybody is like jazzed about. So
I don't think there's many. I have two friends, I think, or three friends that don't like Steely Dan. Like, let's say I have 100 friends. Three of them might not love Steely Dan.
I mean, how could you not? They're a musician's
music. Jason is a huge Jamiroquai fan.
Oh, yeah. They actually just played at Coachella, and he sent me a text. He's like, you better go. I'm like, I'm going. That's one of the why I'm going. They're amazing. Have you seen them live?
I've never seen them.
They are mind-blowing. They're so
Jason said – Jason and a few other friends went and saw him. He played a show in San Fran last year.
Yep.
Did you go to that?
I didn't go to San Francisco. I went to Coachella. I had been listening to a record of his. I don't know if you have this record, but it's called Rock Dust Light Star. Get that record. It is one of the most incredible records front to back.
And killer.
He played a bunch of songs, or they played a bunch of songs from that record. But let's get to Pure and Simple, man.
Wait a minute, Rock?
Oh, it's called Rock Dust Light Star.
Make sure I get that.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
Brother.
You're going to love
right
it.
On. We're good to go?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Been way too long. taking back to that place. Now all of that look on your face, pure and simple, was the way.
From the four to the six.
Thanks, man.
I love when songs do that. It's really
me too, man. I don't hear it enough in popular music.
Well, it's like funny because they're very similar feels, but you really get that pulse when you're in that place listening to that transition, you know.
My drummer, Gannon Burley, what he does with that 6/8, I'm not even sure exactly what it is, but he like half times it. So it's like bang, bang, bang. Like he's like accenting the and of the second. It's really bizarre.
Wow.
And it's like, and then Jason's like flailing through it, and the bass player's like, that's a fun song to play live, man. I'd love to hear it, man.
I'm going to have to listen to it on your record, dude.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
You know, this is something you and I share. I know you feel like this. Is it not the greatest feeling when you write a song at your house, you bring it in to rehearse with the band, and parts start taking shape, and they become the parts that are the songs? I still feel like that's my most favorite part of writing music.
Well, you're the kind of songwriter where you hear those parts, I think anyway, you hear the parts before they even, you hear the whole symphony.
Yeah.
You know, and then when your band plays it like you hear it, it's like magic.
It is. I don't think it's like magic. I think it is magic. You're going to love this. I once did a college show with a magician, and he was so fantastic. And I came up to him, and I was like, man, dude, I love magic. I love magicians. I think they're the most fascinating performers in so many ways. He was like, nah, man. He's like, When magicians do tricks, we're trying to fool you with illusions. He's like, the real magic are songwriters and bands.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you take something out of nothing, pull it out of the air, and turn it into something beautiful.
Beautiful, man.
I literally got chills. I got chills now thinking about it because I was like, I never thought about it like that. But when you're in that rehearsal space with your band and you start hearing what the world will eventually hear, I feel like there is nothing more potent and beautiful than that beginning of the song coming together.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's great when they get like some time behind them and develop, but that, yes, that is a...
I feel like that's what drives us making records. You know, it's like, it's like when we get that taste of what it feels and sounds like, that's what we're like, okay, we need to take that, and that's what we want people to hear. But it's just like that feeling of people need to hear
this. It took me a long time to like recording, man. I hated recording for years and years because you got to summon that. When you're on stage and you got people throwing the love back to you, it's easy to just get to the bottom of your pipes and, you know,
right.
But like to do it 10 times in a row to make sure you get it and you don't get it. And it's like, I think that's where my whole, I don't like records if that sound live, unless they're a live record. Like,
right.
I want people to experiment with the song. I want them to change it. I want a record version and I want a live version. Like that might be asking too much. I don't know, but that's just how I feel about recording. Like, if you want to hear it live, come to a show and see it live. Like, this is how. Like the last record I did, there's a song on it. It doesn't even really sound like me.
Wow.
Because like I put a lot of air and a lot of oomph into my vocals, and this one it's my chill, whispery voice with the super fucking $1 trillion microphone, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like it made me sing, like, and I could hear it so different, so it felt different, so I sang it different. And everyone's just looking at me like, hey man, you gonna sing the song? I'm like, just did. You know what I mean? Like, it's done, like it's a wrap. Like, put the piano on it. But this, my last record I did a song with just vocal and piano. My friend of mine was playing, and like I played the guitar chords and he played the piano chords. Then he added he added some organ to it and in just one vocal take. And it's wow. It's a beautiful song. It's sexy. And it's the last song.
That's what my favorite songs are, the simple ones, man. They're when you capture that simplicity, that's everything, dude.
Oh, and it's like, it's warm. The track is so warm, man. And like, a friend of mine was just like, it's almost a little too intimate. He goes, I feel a little uncomfortable listening to it. And I'm like, yes, fucking right on, man. You would have been uncomfortable if you were in the room, motherfucker.
Well, you know what? It makes me respect every record I do. It makes me respect the records that I love that have grown with me over time, too. It's like what you said. It's like, you're like, do you hear records differently? Yes. I hear, like, some records become better mixes, better all around. Some records you start to see, oh, that's what they were doing to create that effect. But it's like, I listen to Beatles records, when I listen to Pink Floyd records, when I listen to like Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bob Marley, I am floored how they made those records.
You know what record I love more now than I did back then is The Band's Band.
Oh, that's my favorite Radiohead record.
Oh, yeah, me too, man.
Music like this, man.
I love that record. Like that. I've been listening to a lot of Silver Sun pickups lately.
They're great.
I love their stuff. But that record, The Bends, I went out and got it on vinyl, and I listened to that a lot lately.
Dude, I've been going backwards and then forwards. So, like, I'll go throwback, like, listen to a band I haven't listened to in a long time, and then I'll find a record that I love now that's, like, nothing I've heard in years. So
yeah, man, what is that? What is that? I can't think of the name of the band. Jack White's.
The White Stripes.
No, that's his other band.
Oh, the Raconteurs?
Yes, yes. Those guys, that last record blew my doors, man.
Like, oh, awesome.
I mean, the first one was amazing, but that last one that they just made, man, that shit's heavy.
You know, it makes me fall in love with the record. Like, the more records I do, and I always tell myself, I don't know if you're like this, but I always tell myself, okay, this is the last. I'm not going to do any more. I'm doing another record right now, and I've even told myself, this is it.
I'm gonna do
this one. And then I hear some song that makes me go, man, I want to do something like that on the next
record.
And I catch myself, I'm like,
yes.
What next
Wait a
record?
Minute.
It's supposed to be done.
So I just, my wife is much smarter than I am, of course. So she's like, instead of doing records, why don't you just do singles? And I'm like, maybe. I mean, that's a good idea. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't. I'm old. Like, I want to make a record.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's like, it's much smarter and cheaper, it seems, to make a single, because you can just put it out digitally and you don't even really have to worry about like artwork or anything.
Right.
It's like, I love the process of making a record. I love it.
Me too.
I
love and hate it. I love and hate it.
Yes. Yeah. The thing that I hate about it is it doesn't matter when you call it done. You'll always find something later that you would change. And that drives me like insane. Like, not what I knew I wanted to put that back up on that freaking one line on the third song of the record. No one's going to listen to but me.
Right.
Me and my wife. But that backup isn't there. And I sing. Well, if I listen to it on my radio, I sing the backup and everything.
Yeah, I learned something. So I've been working with this older engineer named Doug Messenger. He is an old cat that knows so much about recording records. He's made some great records, hit records. He's seen it. He was Van Morrison's guitarist.
Oh!
He played Monopoly with Jimi Hendrix. He met John Lennon. Like, he has seen so much in music. And he taught me this phrase. I'm going to pass on this amazing wisdom. So, like, whenever I become neurotic like that in the studio, he'll turn to me and he'll say, will not affect sales. So, like, if something will not affect sales, it's not worth
it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And another thing he taught me is, like, you know.
That's great.
Which is awesome. And it's like with mixing I used to obsess over. I still do. But, you know. He's kind of like taken a lot of the pressure out because he'll say, you know, it's just get it to 98% because you can get it to 50 different versions of 98% where the drums are louder on this mix or the bass is louder on this mix, but it's all going to be at that equal level of finish. And once he kind of gave me that perspective, I'm like, dude, that's totally it. Because, you know, when they remaster and remix records, they're not always better. It's just a different version of finished.
It's just so it's clear.
Like, yes. So it's sometimes it's like it's giving me that little perspective of like, don't put this pressure that's destructive. Just put like things that are positive and constructive.
The love, yeah. I had to. I don't want to fight. Is too big a fight and argue is too big a word. But I had to step up for myself to make. My snare drum louder on a few songs of my last record with my engineer, and he was he's a drummer, he's a lifelong full-time drummer. I'm like, we're not trying to make pop records, but I want to hear vocals and snare drum. That's what I want,
right?
You know, can you make that happen? And like, he's like, it's too loud. I'm like, you don't tell me it's too loud. I say if it's too loud, right?
Right.
I pay you, you push the knob. I'm not saying be a monkey, but I'm just saying, I love you, man. You're doing a great job. Please keep doing a great job. It's like, so hard.
You know what? It's in one of the, you and I are in similar situations where it's like, we're like the seed and We're seeing every step of the process
and the water.
The water, where the like, you know, the micro, the miracle grow, where all of those things, where the
farmer.
Yeah. And it's like we see it to the very end until it blooms, and not everybody's going to have that same vision. But it's like maintaining that, that's super important.
No one's going to care as much about your song as you, ever.
Yes.
That was one thing I had to learn, because, you know, I've been through, I don't know, I can't even count how many people I've played with in the foundation. People ask me sometimes, how many people have been in the foundation? And I don't really know. Probably, you know, 50, 60.
The foundation maybe. Has its own foundation.
Yeah, right? There's like, it could be 10. I don't know. It's right. Just like, there's like ether. It's like, if we didn't record the show, then what? You know, did you play it?
Right. Well, what are you gonna play us next? I wanna have you play one more song for us.
Oh, I don't know. I was only thinking about two. I can play Jen, what else should I play? It's so sad. That's all right though. I'm gonna play a song called Home.
All right.
On my last record as well. No, I'm going to play music, sweet music. How about Collide? Yeah. I'm going to play Collide. That's the news I'll submit my next record.
Let's do it.
Everything's an E tonight. Meet you. You always come around every time that I need you. Not a lot of more than I'm with to preach you. Music, sweet music, you know I need you. Help me make sense of it all. Music, sweet music, take me for a ride. By the riverside, we will wait in the tide or submerge on. Rhythm divine. Music, sweet music for you. I will. What I'm not knowing is how to make sense of it all. But I'm looking into her eyes, terrified of what I see on the outside. Father's been very physically here. I reside. What I see on the other side is back to me and filthy, full of pride. We will collide. We will collide. We will crawling on, crawl every time you come near. I tremble and shake when you whisper in my ear. Music, sweet music, wash away all of my fear. What I'm down to know is how to make sense of it all. Music, sweet music, you quiet my head. Makes it possible for me to sleep instead. Watching myself float above my bed. Music, sweet music, I'm open.
Yeah, man, dude, you ended with my favorite one of the three, man. That was fantastic. Thank you, brother. What a great ode to music. Where can people find you and your music on the web if they want to find you?
SeanJohnsonMusic.com. You can get my latest record. That's my website.
Spell it out because people
don't. SeanJohnsonMusic.com. All over.
Sean, it's been such a pleasure to interview you, man. Next time we do this interview, you got to be in LA, man. We're going to have to do a show after all this dies down.
I would love to. What was the last place we played? What was that place called?
The Mint.
God, that was a long time ago now. Dude,
that's a famous club, man. The Rolling Stones have played there.
I love that place, man.
Ben Harper said it's his favorite club. It's his favorite club in all of LA.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that place, man.
Like, that place has been always a place that I go through at different stages of my career. It'll always
you started out there, right? That's where you started out.
We started playing there in 2003. A lot of the clubs that we played and started and grew with, they've all closed down, and that one's
still gone.
So that one I have a special loyalty to because it has stuck it through for decades and still been that
amazing. Like us, baby, like us.
That's right. Dude, I'm looking forward to the new record. Thank you for taking time to do the show. And dude,
thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Stay healthy, stay safe, and I'm gonna post this whole video on my Facebook tomorrow again. But the show will play a couple times during the week too.
Awesome, man. Thank you. I appreciate it so much, Nicky.
We'll do it again, man. It sounds great, man. I'm looking forward to the new record, man. Seriously.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Be good.
Peace.
Thanks.